In Proverbs 16, verse 9, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Philippians 1, 8, and or chapter 1, verse 9 and 10 says, "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ." What do you want to be when you grow up? This is a question that children are asked every day. And children are amazing with the answers they give. I'm going to be a doctor or an astronaut, a teacher, a nurse, a football player, a police officer. The list just goes on and on. One little fella said, "I'm going to be Batman." Well, you never know what children are going to say. You just can't ever tell. But one thing you will never hear, you will never hear a child say, "When I grow up, I'm going to be a thief or a murderer or a drug addict. I'm going to be a prostitute. I'm going to file bankruptcy and get a divorce." You will never hear a child say that these are their desires, these are their goals in life. You won't hear that. And yet so many in our society have ended up in one or more of those situations, one or more of those roles. Why is it that so many fail while others have such happy, successful lives? Why is that? Well, let's explore that a little bit. It comes down to one word: choices. Choices. The choices we make. I was doing a sermon search this week, Harold, in prepping for this on the internet, and I couldn't believe all the sermons about choices, decisions. Unimaginable number of sermons that I was able to locate about choices. You're not hearing any of those, okay? All right? This is mine, all right? But I was just doing it just out of curiosity about choices. It's so much information about that. Israel had come down to the border of the promised land. They're right at the edge of the Jordan River. And Moses knew that he was not going to be allowed to cross the Jordan and go into the promised land. He was able to go up on a tall mountain and see it, but he knew he was not going to be able to go in. So he issued a very serious warning to the people of Israel. And he said to them in Deuteronomy 30, verse 15, beginning, "See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, that you may live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land you go to possess. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth as witness today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days." I love that phrase. He is your life and the length of your days. "And that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them." Moses admonished the people to choose wisely. Choose wisely. Years later, after they had gone in and possessed the land, years and years have passed now, and the people of Israel have filled this land, and they are being led by another great leader, Joshua. And in his final days, Joshua in chapter 24, Joshua 24, verse 14 and 15, Joshua calls the leaders of the people together and he announces to them, "Now, therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua issued this strong admonition. Choose, and choose wisely. Jesus also said we have to choose. In Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And of course, that word mammon simply means materialism. Some have inserted the word money, and that's fine because money has become God to many people. But God and mammon is literally materialism. You cannot be a servant of God and a materialistic person. So Jesus says you have to choose. Someone says, I don't want to choose. Well, consider what Jesus said. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. Matthew 12:30. So refusing to choose is still to choose. For you are choosing badly. You are choosing not to follow Jesus. Okay, fine. I will follow Jesus. I'll be his disciple. But I don't see what all the big fuss is about. I mean, why do we have to be so careful? The problem comes when people make choices in their life based on what they think, like, want, see, or feel. That's where the problem comes in. When we base our choices on what our own experiences are, and our own point of view, when we base our choices upon our own view, our own opinion, that's where we mess up. That's where we make mistakes. I thought about telling this, and then I thought against it, and I decided I'm going to go ahead and do it. In the movie Indiana Jones and the one where they're searching for the Holy Grail, the quest for the Holy Grail. And it's the one with Sean Connery in it. I don't remember the movies. Anyway, I remember that in this fantasy, they find in this cave, this room with this ancient knight. He's hundreds and hundreds of years old. It's a fantasy, okay? Deal with that. But they find this guy in there. He's still alive. He's the guardian of the grail. And so the bad guy goes in, and Indiana Jones goes in, and the bad guy's got the gun, and so he holds the gun on him, and he says, I'm going to choose the cup, the grail, the cup that Jesus drank out of. That's what it is, the cup that Jesus gave the Lord's Supper in. And the knight warned them that if you choose the right cup, it brings life. But if you choose the wrong cup, it brings death. And so the guy goes in, and he's the bad guy, got the gun. He goes in, he looks around, and he sees the most jewel-encrusted, most beautiful, most fancy cup. And he says, that has got to be it. So he grabs it, and he dips it in the water, and he drinks. And oh my, he turns to be about 700 or 800 years old in a moment. Just dust, there he is, he's gone. And the knight said this. This is the thing I want to stress. The knight said to Indiana Jones, he chose badly. Wow, that was a moment. Well, of course, then Indy has to choose. So he looks around and he sees a wooden cup, one carved out of wood. And he says, that looks like the cup of a carpenter. And he drinks out of that. And sure enough, that was the right one. And, you know, he wins the day, hero wins and all this. And the knight turned to him and said, you chose wisely. Sometimes things like that, even in silly movies like that, really make a strong point. To choose badly based on what you think, what you value, instead of considering what God values, that is indeed a bad choice. To choose wisely, one must consider God's point of view. One must look at things from God's perspective to choose wisely. And that really is the key. And so here's three scriptures that will verify this, that will bear out this point. Jeremiah 10:23, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. Proverbs 16:2, all the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirits. All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes. Hey, you know, I've made a good decision here. Well, you think you have. But maybe you really haven't. The Lord is the one that weighs the spirits. And then finally, Proverbs 16:25. There's a way that seems right to a man, but it ends in the way of death. When we base our choices upon our own experiences or our own point of view, we will choose badly. Albert and Bonnie are a couple that live in New Jersey. And they were driving one night and were seriously injured when a quarter stick of dynamite blew up in their car. Would you like to hear what happened? They're driving around and they're bored, okay? And so Albert gets the bright idea, let's just see what this stick of dynamite will do. So he lights the stick of dynamite and throws it out the car window to see, you know, what kind of a boom it's going to make. Only he thought the window was rolled down, but it wasn't. Oh, yeah. Bad choice. His point of view was, from his point of view, the window is rolled down. But it wasn't. And so they were seriously injured. That is a true story. That happened in 2005. That really did happen. The thing I want you to remember from this is, we may think we've got it figured out. We may think from the way we look at things that we're making a good choice. But unless it bears out with Scripture, unless it meets God's standard, God's test of what is right and wrong, then we're not really making a good choice. We're making a choice based on our own perspective. Judas was one of those who chose badly. He thought that he could pull a little fast one here, and he never dreamed that Jesus would be put to death. He never dreamed that was going to happen. He thought he would pull a fast one because the Bible says he was a thief. And so he would sell Jesus, betray him, and Jesus would, you know, they'd have him handcuffed, and Jesus would, and the cuffs are gone, and he would walk through the crowd, and he would not be condemned, and everything would be back to normal, and I'll have me a little jingle in my pockets. That's what Judas thought. He chose badly because he looked at things from his point of view instead of God's point of view. The rich young ruler chose badly. He thought, evidently, because he was rich, that was okay. He kept all the commandments except the one, thou shalt not covet. He did not love his neighbor as himself. He did not love God enough to do all that God told him to do. He chose badly. Both were willing to follow Jesus, but only on their own terms. However, Cornelius made the right choice. He humbled himself before God, and all that God has told you to tell us, we will do. That is his attitude. And he will obey whatever God's command is. And when he heard the command, he and his whole house were baptized into Christ that same day. When you look back at our text that we started with this evening, Philippians 1, 8, or verses 9 through 10, I don't know why I keep saying 8. Philippians 1, 9 and 10, this I pray, that your love may abound. Now watch this. That your love may abound still more and more. In what? In what? Love is the reason. Love is the motivation, but what? It's going to abound more and more in knowledge and in all discernment. What? Love is based on knowledge and spiritual understanding. That's what discernment is. This love that we have for God is, we're not loving God the way we want to love God. We're loving God the way God wants us to love God. Does that make sense? It's based on knowledge and discernment. It's based on knowledge and understanding of what God's standards are, what God requires of us. We love God, and you know, sometimes we think, well, I really need to feel this. I want to feel this love for God. Well, that's great. And when you get into an emotional crisis and God is there for you, you're definitely going to feel a strong love for God because you will experience that. But the love for God that we are commanded has nothing to do, as we said this morning, it has nothing to do with how we feel about God. It has everything to do with how we obey God, with how we are committed to doing His will, even if it's hard, even when it's uncomfortable, even when it's not what we really want to do. We love God by doing what He says, even when it's hard. Okay? And that's what Paul is saying in Philippians. It is my prayer that your love will grow more and more in knowledge and discernment. Here's the reason. That you may approve the things that are excellent. This is the stuff that's approved by God. And that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. See, that's the point. That you may be ready to meet your God. You know, nothing in this world would make my heart happier than to know that my children, my wife, and he and myself, that we, when our time comes to draw our last breath, that we are right with God. That we are ready to go home. That's the thing that's the most important thing. When my mom drew her last breath last year in January, the only thing that was important to me at that time was the comfort that God gave me and the hope that she was ready to meet Him, ready to go home. That's the only thing that mattered. It didn't matter if she had money enough to pay for a funeral that she wanted. It didn't matter anything about the stuff that she left behind. It didn't matter one thing about the pictures or her family Bible or anything. Anything. The only thing that mattered was that the hope that I had that she was ready to meet God. That's all that matters when you get right down to it, brethren. That's the only thing that's important here. And so we're talking about being without offense till the day of Christ. And it's all about making the right choices. Think about this. Jesus went back to Jerusalem, the triumphant entry and everything, knowing that he is going to suffer and die. He knew this, Luke 19. But experience says they kill prophets in Jerusalem. And they had sought to kill Jesus in Jerusalem in earlier days. And yet, because love was our Lord's motivation, he obeyed his Father and he chose to do what was needed. Even though it was not something he really wanted to do, the Garden of Gethsemane is my case in point for that. It wasn't something he really wanted to do, but he knew it was the thing that was needed to do. And brethren, there's so many good works that we need to do, good things that need to be done. And it's not whether or not we really want to do them. Well, it's great if we can want to do them, but there are some things that need to be done, and we just have to do them if we're going to be pleasing to God. It's all about the choice. Peter and John and the other apostles had a similar experience. You preach Jesus in Jerusalem and you endure beatings and other persecution. And this is what happened to them, and yet they chose to keep on preaching, didn't they? And lots of church members can and do grow bitter when they have bad experiences. This seems to be Jonah's problem at Nineveh. He had grown bitter. He wanted those people to suffer and die. He did not want God to turn away from the wrath that he was going to pour out on them. He didn't want that. And we need to be careful lest we fall into the trap that Jonah fell into. So here is God's wisdom on the matter of your choice. 1 Peter 2, beginning in verse 1. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. We've got to feed on God's word. That's how we're going to overcome the tendencies to choose badly. Feed on God's word. Inform yourself. Arm yourself. Nourish yourself. Prepare yourself for the work that's ahead. Feed on the word of God. Build up your strength. Build up your faith. And then abound more and more in love with knowledge that you've gained from eating, from feeding on God's word, with judgment, discernment that you gain from the not only the experiences of your life, but drawing from God's standards of what is good and what is acceptable, what is excellent, so that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ. Brethren, it's really, when we get down to it, it's all about our choices. Everything we do Every attitude that we have, every word that we say, every thought of our heart, every desire, every moment of our life, it's all about the choices we make. And while we have moments where our memories lapse, and there are moments when we get caught up in the moment and we may make a bad choice, we may have some bad judgment, when we come to our senses, like the prodigal did in the pig pen, when we come to our senses and we realize, oh, I messed up so bad, that's when our true heart is going to reveal itself. For if we humble ourselves and turn back to God, seek His forgiveness, God always is ready to forgive and help us. So there's going to be moments when we're going to forget our mission and we're going to make some bad decisions. That's going to happen. We just have to make sure that we are continuing to stay humble before the Lord when those times do happen. But the thing that we need to strive for is to be conscious, to keep it in the front of our minds. In the front of our minds. The Jewish frontlet was a little box that they wore. The Jewish rabbis, they wore this little box on their, they had the scarf and they had a headband, and they had this little box that they wore. And in that box was written segments of the law, parts of the law, to remind them. And they kept it. And so Jesus said, I don't want the law written here on this box. I want it written in your heart. We have to keep it in the front of our mind, not in the back of our mind, not a passing thought, but that needs to be the standard by which we live. We need to keep God's will forefront of our mind. And if we do this, then we will be much more likely to make wise choices. Consider your condition. Consider your relationship with God. Consider where you are right now. If you're ready to meet Him, if you're ready for this to be your last day on earth, ready. God bless you. Keep on keeping on. But if there's things you need to change, work on it. Change them. Grow. Become more than what you are. Be the man, be the woman God wants you to be. But you got to work on it. It's not going to just happen. You got to make it happen. Make it your decision, make it your will to choose wisely and to serve God, beginning now and for the rest of your life. If there's a way we can help you without delay, we would encourage you to come right now if you need to as we stand and sing.